We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Excellent. Welcome everybody to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. Hello to all my friends online, online church. Love you guys. Y'all are just too cool. One day, come show your coolness here. We'd love to see you in the room with us. I want to share with you a concept that had me frozen in fear for way too long. Have you ever been so afraid you couldn't make a decision? Ever been so afraid you didn't know whether to go left or right? So afraid you didn't know whether to speak up or shut up? Anybody? I had a difficult time making choices, progressing in my life, going after my passion, my hopes, and my dreams. I want to talk to you about that today. I believe many of you can relate to this message. I believe that you understand that there are things God likes and there are things God doesn't like. Pretty deep concept, right? There are things God likes and then there are things God doesn't like. And I know that you're trying to do things that God likes. You should be, right? If you are trying to do things God doesn't like, you actually got that backwards, Braden. Stop that. Do the things He likes. Oh, see, it's worth the price of admission already. I know that you're trying to do the things God likes. That's why you're here today. You're worshiping. I'm not here to beat you up. Sometimes churches like really beat down on people. And it's, you know, beating the people that actually came to God's house. We're actually worshiping. We're actually praying. So I'm not here to beat you guys up. But y'all that are missing today, y'all watch it. Totally kidding. I love you guys. I believe that you're praying. I believe you're reading God's word. I believe you're listening to the preaching of the word. I believe that you're reaching out to small groups. I believe that you actually pray every day, God, what should I do in my life today? Show me, lead me, guide me. All in an effort to do what God wants and to no longer do the things God doesn't want. And as you read the Bible, that's kind of what's in the Bible, right? Every story in the Bible is either the story of a person that does what God likes or a person that doesn't do what God likes. You can whittle down every story to those few things, right? Yeah. Excellent. David and Goliath. David was trying to do stuff God likes. Goliath was trying to eat small children. That's what he was doing, right? We have all these stories, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're doing things God likes. The king Nebuchadnezzar was doing things that God doesn't like. Cain and Abel. Yeah. Cain was doing things God doesn't like. God doesn't bless these things. And Abel was doing the things that God likes. Every story in the Bible is that. You get to decide what character you're going to be in God's story. Are you going to be the character that does what God likes or the character that doesn't do what God likes? And when we're reading the Bible, sometimes you just want to yell at your Bible. You're like, dude, what are you doing? Esau, you're selling your birthright for a cup of porridge. What are you doing? God doesn't, you're trying to yell those things out at those people, right? Judas, what are you doing? Person after person, we could name these things. Guess what? It is so much easier to recognize them in those people. Y'all know what I'm going to say. Than what it is to find it in ourselves. We need to recognize, we need to be honest today. We need to confess all the things that we're doing that God doesn't like. Right now, God, I give you permission. Lord, you speak to us about everything we're doing we don't like. We want to start doing all the things you do like. Say amen if that's in your heart. What God likes, what God doesn't like, we refer to this as God's will. God's will. You're either doing God's will, you're not doing God's will. And that's what it took me too long to realize. It took me too long to realize God's will. Can anybody relate to that? How about this one? What is God's will? Anybody relate to that question? What in the world is God's will? Do you struggle with that subject? Man, I sure have, and I probably will again. There are times I really struggle with that question. Do you often ask the question, what is God's will? Am I in His will? Would I even realize, God, if I were in Your will? Would I even recognize if I'm not in Your will? Lord, would you actually let me walk off a cliff out of your will? Would you let me do that? What, God, what is it that you want? Anybody ever had that prayer? God, just what is it you want? What is it? Anybody? Raise your hand all over this place so everybody can see. See, you are not the only one to struggle with that. You are not the only one. And let me tell you, it's not the last. I have not put this one to bed. I still struggle with these things I'm going to talk to you about today. I want to personally tell you that you are not alone. A lot of my life has been filled with the question, God, what is it that you want? What is your will? And this can be a scary question. And I'm going to give you a scary verse about God's will. It absolutely scared me. I don't know if you will react the same way. But it's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We hear this part of the verse all the time. This last part we leave off because it's scary. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Say good,
good.
Pleasing, perfect will. Now this verse scared me a lot. I was already a little scared, was already a little worried about this whole understanding the will of God thing. But this verse jumped out of nowhere. I was minding my own business and this verse just came up and scared me to death. It complicated everything with this last sentence. Didn't that complicate it a little bit in your mind? The good, the pleasing, the perfect will of God. And holy cow, there's three of them. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm probably missing all three. Then you will be able to test and approve. I wasn't sure I was able to test anything or approve anything. But to know absolutely what God's will is, that is what I wanted. But I was clueless on what all this meant. The King James Version even read a little scarier. The good, the acceptable. Uh-oh. Pleasing sounded so much nicer. The good, the acceptable. It's like, oh gosh, God, please let me be acceptable, right? Oh, this verse made me nervous about God's will. I thought that I might mess up God's plan for me. See, God has this cosmic plan for me, and I might just totally ruin it. Anybody ever think that? Well, those are the thoughts. Chris Fluitt thought at a young age. We're talking 8 years old thinking these things. I was going through stuff. If I am out of his will, then what does that even mean if I'm out of his will? Maybe I'm not saved if I'm out of his will. Maybe God will be mad at me. Maybe I'm headed to a not so good place if I'm out of God. I mean, this gets serious really quick. I want to be in the perfect will of God, but I thought that meant can't make any mistakes. Because that's what we think about the word perfect. Perfect will of God. And you're thinking like, if you're talking about mistake-free will of God, why even put that in the Bible? Because we all done missed that ship a long time ago. Am I right?
Yeah.
But of course, the word perfect doesn't mean without error. The word perfect means whole. The word perfect means no longer lacking anything. When you're lacking something, you're looking for something. But when you have found what you're looking for, you're not lacking it anymore. And you have that with God. With God, you don't have to lack any more. The Bible says that we are complete in him, Jesus Christ. Colossians 2, verse 10. So I thought these things about God. I thought God might have a scoring card up in heaven. Anybody ever have that picture of God? God's got the scoring card. And when I did something wrong, God would pull out his little pencil and go, I love that guy, but oh, that wasn't good. It's bad. Wow, that's 365. That's the whole year. He's gone, just messed up every day. Like, I just view, what's wrong with that? I'll tell you what's wrong with that. The Bible tells us that love keeps no record of wrong. That's what it says. So God loves you. He can't love you and do the scorecard thing. But I thought that. I sure thought that. Anybody, you think that about God, you put that away. He loves you. And the people that take out scorecards against you, they need to learn how to love you. Y'all hear me? So naturally I thought, if God is doing the scorecard thing, it's probably safer for me to not do anything, right? That makes a lot of sense, right? If you can do the wrong thing, I might do less wrong things if I do no thing, right? Rather than do something, I just won't do anything. I think that's where a lot of the Christian world kind of is. If I do something out of his will, then that is bad. So I often went out of my way not to not do something bad, but I went out of my way to not do anything. This put a big pause on my life, just big pause button, not going anywhere. There were things I wanted to do, I was likely called to do, but I didn't do out of fear of being out of the perfect will of God. I justified this lack of action. We're good at that, right? We justify our own actions. I justified this lack of action with this thought. Here it is. Well, if God wanted me to do it, then he would tell me. He would send me an angel or a prophet. I'd wake up and Elijah would be right on my pillow just going, God has told you. And he'd talk just like that. That'd be weird. The prophet would show up. He would tell me what I was already thinking. Or I would look up into the sky and the cloud would actually miraculously spell out the sentence, Christopher. Yeah, that's how it has to be. It has to say my first name, maybe my full name. I've got four names, Christopher, Clyde, Worth, Fluitt. Better be spelled right. Capitalization, perfect. I want you to do, and then fill in the blank. And then if that happened, then I would, only then would I do it. If I don't do it, then that would be wrong. But until he actually does that unmistakable thing, then I think I'm justified in doing nothing. You can care about the will of God, but still miss the will of God. I cared about not messing up the will of God, but was I in the will of God? No, I was not. There is a parable of Jesus that totally nails this point. Look at somebody, say, nailed it. Jesus nailed it in Matthew chapter 25. It is the parable of the talent. Some people call it the unprofitable servant. We're going to spend some time reading Matthew 25, beginning at verse 14. Again, Jesus says, it will be like a man going on a journey who calls his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave five bags, say five bags of gold. To another, two bags, say two bags. And to another, one bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. So the master, he gave these talents, these bags of money. This is cash money. He gave them to his three servants. He gave them different amounts. Three servants, one of them received five. One of them received two. One of them received one. The story continues. With the master gone, the servants went about what they perceived was the will of their master. And the servant with five bags of gold, and the servant with two bags of gold, they worked with the gold. They invested it. They invested the gold. And at the end, when the master returns, guess what? They had a profit. They had a 100% profit. Reading on verse 19. Matthew 25, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I've gained five more. 100% profit. Verse 21, the master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Verse 22, the man with two bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I have gained two more. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. So how many servants are there left? There's one left. He's got how many bags of gold? He was given one bag of gold. What did he do with the gift of his master? How did he go about attempting to do the will of the master? It tells us in verse 24 of Matthew 25. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. The unprofitable servant was afraid. Afraid of who? Afraid of the master. He was afraid of disappointing the master by falling short of the master's perfect will. Do you see that? And out of fear, he did nothing with the talent of gold. He did nothing with the bag of gold. He just buried the gold in the bag. He waited for the master to return. He dug up the gold and said, here it is. Was the servant in the master's will or out of the master's will? Absolutely, he was out of the master's will. I'm telling you, doing nothing is out of the will of God. Doing nothing is absolutely out of God's will. The master calls the servant lazy, and he strengthens it wicked. He calls him lazy and wicked, and he ends up taking that gold. Where does he put the gold? Yeah, he takes that buried gold and he gives it to the servant who managed five bags into five additional bags. So he had 10 bags. Now he has one more. He has 11. And that servant who was given one now has nothing. Nothing. It took me too long to realize his will. Looking back over my own life, I can see seasons where I, out of fear, buried my bag of gold. It is absolutely God's will for you to take what you've been given and to use it, to grow it, to cultivate it, and multiply it. It is absolutely God's will to take whatever you have been given, use it, grow it, cultivate it, multiply it. Use it. And if you don't use it, you lose it. Is that in the story? It's absolutely how it works. You got to use it. In my own personal life, this is Chris Fluitt's personal life, I knew I had a talent for music, but I buried it for years. I knew I had ability to share the word of God and to lead people, but I buried it for years. I knew that there were brave changes that God wanted to make in my life. I knew absolutely God wanted to do those things, but I buried it for years. I'm going to tell you, do not bury the treasure. Do not bury your talent. Do not bury that heartbeat inside. Do not bury it. Do not hide it. Don't do it. Do not. That is the one thing I guarantee you is not the will of God. I think that God would rather you use it and totally mess up than to not do anything with it. I believe that. I believe that. God wants you to be brave. You know, the best stories in the Bible are the brave people. In fact, that's the stories in the Bible, right? The brave ones. Are there any brave ones in here? God wants you to be a brave one. Will you be a brave child of God today? And maybe you don't believe this, but I believe it. Listen, you are gifted with treasure from God. He has gifted you. He has positioned you. He has plans and purposes for you. He's actually created things for you to do in advance all of heaven created this thing and waiting for you to show up on the scene to do them. That is the truth. God is that way about you. So do not bury the treasure. Do something with the gifts God has for you. He'd rather you use the gifts and fail than to fail to use the gifts. Is there buried treasure in this room right now? I got to tell you, I believe there is. Is there buried treasure within you, in your heart and in your mind? I believe that there is. Is there buried treasure in your home? I believe there is. In your marriage, in your family, I believe that there is. Right now, we've got some children in our back classroom. Guess what? We've just got treasure from heaven back there. It's been given to us. And if we don't do something with the treasure, we will not have the will of the Father. We will lose the treasure. Y'all follow me. We got to do something. Somebody say, do something. I have some wisdom to share with you today that will help you know and follow the good, the pleasing, and the perfect will of God. Here's a few things I just want you to learn. I wish I would have had this sermon like in a few minutes. This took me years to get, Taria. It took me years to get. So use this. Number one is this. Pray for His will to be done. Pray for His... Now you would say, that's a duh statement, Pat. That's hardly a revelation. Well, then how come nobody does it? How come we're falling short on this duh statement? Because we absolutely do forget to pray for His will to be done. To find the will of God, it should be no surprise that you should start with prayer. We should definitely pray to God that He would show us His will. We should pray, God, help us to do Your will, and Lord, let Your will be done. Perhaps you recognize this verse, Matthew chapter 6, Your kingdom come, and Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Where is that? Where does that show up in your Bible? It's the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, as He is teaching us to pray, Jesus prays that the will of God would be done. Do you know that Jesus prayed that the will of God would be done? If He prayed that the will of His Father would be done, don't you think maybe we should do that also? Absolutely. Jesus prays that the will of heaven would come to earth. When I'm praying, I feel so bold when I think about what is in heaven. In heaven, there is no death. In heaven, there is no sickness. In heaven, lives are put back together and everything is reconciled and everything is redeemed. And when I pray, I just feel this boldness. That is God's will to come to earth. That is God's will for you, that you would be redeemed, that you would be healed, that you'd be reconciled, that the will of heaven would come to earth. Let's be a little bold in our prayer. Let's pray the will of heaven to come to earth. Pray that over your homes, over your children. Are you praying this? Lord, let the will of heaven come into my family. Come into my home, my finances, my health. Let it come into my city. Let it come into my neighborhood, my school, my mind. Let it come into my church. Come, bring your will into this moment. Number one, pray to know His will. Pray then also for His will to be understood. Not just for His will to be done, but for His will to be understood. I often tell the Lord, and I really mean this when I say it, God, you have to help me understand. I'm kind of dumb. I'm kind of slow. I tell Him these things. God, you know, I'm not so quick on this. I need You to help me not walk right past Your will. If You could put some neon signs around it, some arrows, circle it, underlined it, put it in bold font for me to see, because I'm a little slow and I get really distracted. I easily walk past Your plan. I need You to help me not to do that. And I want to tell you, God does that. God has helped me. God has revealed His will. And sometimes it's miraculous and sometimes it's like funny, but it happens. I promise. Also pray that God would confirm His will. 2 weeks ago, we talked about hearing God's voice. We talked about how God confirms His voice and what His plan is for you. Sometimes I think I understand His will. But before I launch out and do it, I will pray, God, I am about to do this thing. Now, God already knows this, right? He knows our needs before we ask, but we do them nonetheless. You're supposed to do them nonetheless. Now, God, here's the deal. I'm about to do this thing. If this is a stupid, bad thing, this is like your last opportunity to tell me, I am about to do this thing. Please stop me if it's wrong. I do this. I have this. It is a solid prayer, by the way. Absolutely solid. God, is this okay? Your final warning, I don't want to do this without consulting you. But then guess what? When He doesn't stop you, you're supposed to step. You're supposed to go. You're supposed to believe that if it was a stupid, no good thing, He would have stopped you. He would have told you in His word. He would have put someone in your life. He would have given you a feeling right at that moment. Something would have happened to block that progression. Stop me from doing the wrong thing. That's part of your prayer in understanding the will of God. Sometimes you find the will of God by just taking away all the other options. Nope, 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 nope. Last door, it's open. I'll go through this door. God promises in His word to make the crooked paths straight. It's in Isaiah 42. Jesus says it in John the Baptist says in Luke 3 that He will make the crooked paths straight. There's nothing like you're in a town and you don't know your way around a town and there's a weird road and it just like jogs around. You ever been on one of those roads? Thank goodness for just straight roads. You find it and you're just on it. Not one of these roads, if you're not careful, how did I get off this road? I was on this road just a moment. It like changes names 5 times. God says that He will take the crooked path. He will redesign them. He will make them straight paths. Pray that God will take these hard to understand paths and make them easier to perceive. Pray that. I tell Him, God, You said that You would do that. So I'm going to need You to do that because I'm a little confused. It is actually God's job to make His will known. It is not your job to go solve the mystery of His will. You are not Scooby-Doo. That is not you. You're not the mystery van team going around. No, it is God's will to make the mysterious things known, to make them revealed to you. That's God's job. So tell Him that. Tell Him, God, it's Your job to do this. It's Your job to show me. It's Your job to stop me. It is Your job to make the crooked path straight. It is our job to pay attention. It's our job to see it. It's our job to realize it. It's our job to obey. It's our job to pay enough attention that if you hear a sermon on it, hear someone the next day talk to you about the situation and then open up your Bible and every time you turn on the radio, it's talking about the same thing, that you are smart enough to put it together. You got to be able to put that stuff together. That's your job. That's your job. You need to pray that the will of God be done. Pray that you will understand His will. And also pray to come into alignment with His will. Prayer is so much more than asking God for stuff. Y'all know that? Prayer is more than asking God for things. God, you're treating God like your heavenly sugar daddy. Our sugar daddy up in heaven. Lord, there's some things I just, you know, Father, I really like the look of that new car, Lord. And there's a new, and some people do that. There's some people that they pray only when they're in trouble, only when they need a financial miracle. No, I want to tell you today that prayer is so much more than asking God for stuff. Now you can ask for God for stuff. One of the verses says that you make your petitions known to him, but that's not the only way to pray. Y'all stay with me. Prayer is an avenue for you to come into alignment with his will. Jesus himself used prayer to come into alignment with the will of the Father. Where did this happen so remarkably? Exactly, in the Garden of Gethsemane, before the Lord was taken by an armed guard in the night, Jesus prayed repeatedly about the hardship that was about to happen. And do you remember how his prayer ended? He prayed it over and over again. He prayed several times and didn't receive an answer. You listen to me. Jesus himself prayed multiple times and didn't receive an answer, and he didn't lose faith. Own that one a little bit. You can pray, not hear from God, but keep your faith. How about that? Luke 22:42. Jesus ends this prayer with this. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. In other words, God, I don't want this to happen unless it's your will. If it's your will, let it be done. And because it was the will of the Father, and because Jesus was completely in alignment with his will, he went all the way to that cross, all the way to the tomb. And thank God he did. He went all the way to a resurrection, and he went all the way to one day he's going to call us by his side. Sometimes his will is difficult. Can I get an amen on that? But in prayer, we surrender to his will. Prayer is not about arm wrestling God to change his will. Oh, if I pray hard enough, he will change his mind. No, prayer is about you going, I don't want to fight you, Lord. I surrender. I trust you. I believe you know better than me. I believe that you love me, even in the hardship. I believe you'll see me through even this hardship. So guess what? Pray before you make decisions. You listen to me. Pray before you make decisions. That is like Christianity 101, and I've seen it failed on so many times. Pray before you have important conversations. Pray before you apply to the school or to the job. Pray before you act. Pray before you sell or you buy a house. Pray about these things. Who knows about the time I almost bought a condo, almost sold a condo without talking to the Lord? But I'll tell you this story. There's enough of you here. No, listen to me. I almost sold a piece of property without talking to the Lord. And this is how it went. I don't know how you thought this would go, but this is how it went. I can take you to the very street I was driving on. I was driving on Avenue K, going from Plano into Richardson. I was driving back to the condo, and I felt the Lord just communicate this to me. He was like, he said, you know, you have not asked me what you should do with your condo. It was just, I'm just driving along, paying my own attention, not being spiritual, just, you know, just driving along. The Lord just drops this on me. I'm like, whoa. You know, you have not asked me about what you should do with this piece of property. And the wheels are already going. We're about to put this on the market. Right? It's pretty much already decided. We already decided. And the Lord's like, you know, you didn't ask me about that. That's how the Lord came to me, just so strongly. It was loving, but he was very to the point. I got it really quickly. So we were buying a home, and we just assumed that it would be so much easier to sell the condo. It makes it easier to buy the new property if you sell the old property. And who, Lord, we've never been landlords before, and I don't know how to balance two properties and two mortgages. You know, it would just be easier the path of least resistance to go sell the condo. So when the Lord said that I hadn't asked him, I quickly said, sorry, Lord. Sorry about that, Lord. Sorry about that, Lord. And thank you for not hitting me with the lightning bolt. Sorry about that, Lord. So I then said, well, okay, what should we do with the condo? And I'm telling you, I did not get to the next traffic light before I felt the Lord say, don't sell it yet. And I'm like, I'm going to have to talk to Sarah. I don't know about this. There's a longer version of the story. This talk continued with the Lord. And not only did the Lord tell me what to do, but then he gave me wisdom on how to talk to the people in my life to share what God had done for us all to come together under the banner of God's will. And sure enough, it worked. This is called prayer, y'all. This is called having a union with God. This is called having a communion with the Lord, a conversation with the Lord. Here's what happened. In a matter of like two months, that condo increased in value by $40,000. I don't know how that happened, but it did. And we still had possession of it. We could have sold it before, like something went flippity floppity in the housing market. And I'm kidding you not, listening to the Lord netted me quickly $40,000. So what do you think Sarah and I did next? We're like, Lord, what do you want us to do with this? With this property, what do you want us to do with it? And the Lord still said, no, he told us, we knew in our hearts when to sell this property. It's hard to explain, but it's just a relationship with the Lord. We kept asking the Lord, we kept talking amongst ourselves. What do you feel? What do you feel, Lord? And we're going to pray about it. We have those conversations. Like, well, what do you think? I don't know. What do you think? Well, let's pray about it. And then we actually do. And then, about a year and a half ago, we sold that condo, not for $40,000 more, but for $80,000 more. I say that not to brag, because there is nothing there to brag about. We know nothing about the stock market. We know nothing about real estate. We're just simpletons on all those things. But we know that we have a God who is worth talking to. And we know that before we make decisions, we talk to the one who put breath in our lungs. He holds our hearts in his hands. We talk to the Lord. Can I tell you, let me just put it in dollar bill signs. He is easily $40,000 worth talking to. He's easily $80,000 worth talking to. He is, you can't put a number amount on it, worth talking to. The will of God will make you look brilliant. The will of God will make you look smarter than anybody on Wall Street. The will of God will put you on a new path. Guess why we live in Plano today? We couldn't afford to live in Plano. God wanted us to be in Plano. Told us another time. That's another story. But because we had banked all that money, now we're living here in Plano and we're thankful for it. Thank you, Lord. Can anybody say thank you, Lord? Thank you, Lord. Oh, man. In a matter of months, just listening to him, follow him. I'm telling you, in a matter of days, I'm telling you, before today's over, you can just spend some time getting in the will of God, and it can instantly change your life forever. God is worth talking to. His will is worth inquiring of. Next, I want to tell you, peace is a compass for finding his will. You know what a compass is. It helps you get around, helps you know which way is north, helps you know which way to go. I have found that when I am in the will of God, I am at peace. I have learned to not make decisions where I do not have peace. I literally use this feeling of peace in my life as a compass. I wait to find the pathway that's marked with God's peace. Do you know what God's peace feels like? Do you know what God's peace feels like? You need to walk in that peace. You need to be paying attention. When you don't feel that peace, you need to go, wait a second, Lord. I don't feel the peace. You show me where to go. You know, in the Bible, it tells us to be like eagles, right? To wait upon the Lord. We'll mount up on wings like eagles, that we will have a brand new strength, like the strength of an eagle. This is what the Bible tells us today. I was talking to one of my pastor friends, Jared Breakiron. He came and preached here last 2 years ago. I don't know when that was, last year. And he told me this. I was telling him what I was preaching. He says, oh, bro, you got to tell him this. So here it comes. This comes from Jared all the way. He says, did you know that eagles, somehow scientists have found out that eagles know exactly where home is. And there is something built into their eyes that when their eyes are going away from home, they feel a slight discomfort. And that when they are turned back towards home, that discomfort goes away. So that there is a feeling of discomfort or a feeling of peace based on where they are pointed. The Bible says that you should be like an eagle. I'm telling you that his peace is like that. When his peace is on you, you're walking in his will. It is such a great feeling. But when you are not in his peace, how many knows how that feels? The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. It's difficult, y'all. When you are not in his peace, you are probably not in his will. Absolutely. You can use his peace as a compass. It will save you from a lot of bad decisions if you'll learn to walk in the sensitivity of his peace. And I got to tell you one more thing, that his peace passes all understanding. Absolutely. Philippians 4:7. This doesn't mean that all the situations are easy. No, you can be in a hectic, troublesome situation, but still have his peace. You can be on the job. Somebody listen, you can be on the job and be hated. You know that people are talking about you. You know that people are trying to get you fired, but you feel a peace. That you know that there's problems in your home, that there are things in your life you can't fix, that you don't know how you're going to pay your light bill, these things, but yet you feel his peace. I'm telling you, peace does not equal easy street. Peace equals his will. Use his peace as a compass. I want to tell you that God is interested in your will. This was the hardest thing to figure out. I really needed someone to teach me that. But they didn't. So I had to learn it through experience. It was a real eye-opener to me. There was a time in my life where I was at a fork in the road. Who loves fork in the roads? Alex likes fork in the roads. It's not an actual fork. All right. There was a time in my life where I'm at this path. I need to go either this way or I need to go that way. My career can either go this way or that way. I could have gone into ministry. That was one option. I could have become a sports broadcast journalist was the other option. And I prayed to God about which direction I should take. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And God said nothing, absolutely nothing, not even a little bit, not even a hint, not even a little bit. You know, somebody said, broadcast journalism is pretty exciting. And you know, you overhear it and go, oh, that was no, nothing, nothing, Braden, nothing at all. I prayed so hard. It actually really made me mad, it made me very frustrated. Now, I thought that only one of these choices could possibly be in God's will. I actually thought this is probably a trick, right? It's a test to see if I go the right way, because only one of these directions is the right way. And if I go the wrong way, you know, so close, but now you're in hell or something. These are the thoughts that went through my 20-year-old mind. I remember one night, this is part of the Taco Cabana story. Anybody heard that? I won't tell it again. But I want to tell you that the Lord told me, and it shocked me so much. The Lord told me that he would travel down both roads with me. And I was like, what? I actually had to check that because I'm like, oh, nice try, devil. Like, that would have been a nice trick, devil. No, the Lord, I'm telling you, the Lord told me, choose either one. I'm going with you. Choose either one. I'm walking with you. Choose either one. I'm going to bless you. Choose either one. I'm going to use you. And I'm like, whoa, this is out of my paradigm because I believe there's only one perfect, good, acceptable will of God. And if I don't find it, I'm really in trouble. He told me that he would empower me to be either. I'll empower you to do ministry. I'll empower you to do be a broadcast journalist. I'll empower you to speak to people in any other place. I'll empower you to be a light in either area. God, here's what God wanted. God wanted me to choose. And God wanted to know what I wanted to do. And then he wanted to do it with me. I want to tell you, God wants you to decide what you want to do. And then God wants to do it with you. It's the truth. We're talking about God's will. Well, God wants to know what you will. He wants to know about your will. Your will matters to God. And that, it was such an eye-opener to me. What a revelation that is. There are some cases where God will wait at the fork in the road for you to decide. If you're at that place, and you're like, well, I'm just not progressing. It's because you haven't made the decision. And God is waiting on you. I want to tell you, God gives desires and waits for what you will do. Often we wait for God to talk to us and reveal his will. But God has already talked to you, but you haven't realized it. The desire you have can come from God. The dream that you have might not have originated with you. It might have come straight from God. The passion that you have beating in your heart might very well be the will of God that you've been praying to know. And so you're like, God, why aren't you talking to me? And he's like, I'm waiting for you to figure it out. It's in you. It's in your heart. It's in your thoughts. I'm waiting for you to own it and go do it. There is a guy in the Bible named Nehemiah. Everybody said Nehemiah. He's a cupbearer to a Persian king. You know what a cupbearer is? He tastes the wine to make sure it's not poison. He's a poison detector is what he is. His name is Nehemiah. And he is in the area of Babylon, Persia, this area, during the time of exile from Jerusalem. So they were all taken from Jerusalem and they're living in a place that they did not choose to be. And Nehemiah ends up going from Persia, from Babylon, to the city of Jerusalem. And in a miraculous amount of time, in just days, he actually rebuilds the walls of the city and brings hope to a fallen nation. A guy who has no training in building walls whatsoever. He's a cupbearer. Who thinks that Nehemiah was in the will of God? Anybody? Anybody? The answer is yes. Absolutely. 100% yes. Yes. 100%. He's in your Bible. There's an entire book named Nehemiah, right? He's absolutely in the will of God. You'd be crazy not to think. Look at all the wonderful things that came out of him. But how did he know what God's will was? Did an angel tell him? Did a prophet show up? Did he have a vision or some spiritual manifestation, a burning bush type experience, anything like that? No. Then how did he know to do this work? We're going to read Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3. This is how it starts. They, being a group of people who have been to Jerusalem, said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. Verse 4. When I, Nehemiah, heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days, I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. You can read the rest of chapter 1. Never in that chapter does it say, "And the Lord said." It doesn't say, "And then the servant of God, the prophet, spoke to Nehemiah." It doesn't say, "And an angel of the Lord showed up and told him, yay, go do this." No, not at all. When Nehemiah heard about the need, a passion, a stirring, a dream, a burden filled his heart. He was moved to tears. He just had to sit down and he started to cry. And he didn't just walk out of that moment. It stayed with him for days. He mourned and he fasted and he prayed to God. For what? A land he had never been to and a people he has never met before. A land he had never been to and a people he had never met before. It stirred him up. I want to tell you that there is a stirring that can happen in your heart. There is a passion that can take a grip of your heart. There is a dream that can find its way into your mind. And I'm telling you, it could be the very will of God. God never told him to go to Jerusalem. God gave Nehemiah the desire and then waited for what Nehemiah would do. Psalm 37, 4 through 5 tells us this: "Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desire of your heart." I want to tell you that not only does God give you the desire of your heart, he works on your heart. He places things in your heart. There's a reason that sometimes you hear the words of a missionary and you see their pictures and you cry and you feel something. Let me tell you, that was not a one-time thing. So many times we just let that fall to his wayside. No, we need to let that keep stirring us, keep being a burden to us, keep being the will of God for us. The next verse says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and you will do this." What does it say? "And he will do this." I love that. It's not you doing it anymore. Now you're a part of it, but it is God actively doing it through you, through your heart for people, through your passion, through your idea, through your dreams. God loves to supply all the ingredients and then watch you work in the kitchen. That's what God wants to do. He wants to give you that passion for it. He wants to give you the thought. You see, you didn't even think it. He gave it to you to think. God is sovereign. But God doesn't want to do all the work. He wants to watch you work and he wants to empower you to do it. Do you believe God is interested in your will? Do you believe that about him? I want you to know that about God. He cares about your desire. He cares about your passion. He wants to see what you are willing to do. Redemption Church, God is interested in what we will do. He is looking at us, wondering when we will act, when we will pray, when we will take the word of God to the next generation. Just like the master supplied bags of gold to the servants in that parable, God has supplied us with everything we need. And I do mean everything. He has given us everything we need. The Bible says it, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need. His divine power has already given you everything you need. What are you waiting for? You're not waiting on something you need. He's already given it to you. Have faith. Act. Be bold. Use your compass and start to walk. Use that desire and that passion that's welling up in you and go do it. I'm telling you, go start that business you've been dreaming about. Stop talking about it. Go do it. Go start that ministry you've been thinking about. You've been really feeling in your heart to reach out to this certain community. Go do it. Stop waiting. It's the will of God for you. Commit your way to the Lord and he will do it. He's given you everything that you need. Stop thinking, well, I need some more money. No, declare the word of God. God, you've already given me everything that I need. You can do the will of God. God is waiting on you to take what has been given you and do something big, bold, beautiful. We're about to come talk to God. Is anyone ready to talk to God?
Yeah.
Is anyone ready to see the will of God done in their life? I want it. I want it. Before we come, I want to tell you, you can come back into the will of God.
For more information about redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.